Yeah, switch the station. I consider myself politically correct, and his views make me uncomfortable.
The Dory Monson Show on Pyro Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. What city would you guys say we are most similar to?
San Francisco.
Very good. Yes, absolutely. We are like twins.
Except that their housing prices are even higher.
They are. But in things like, have you been to San Francisco recently?
Not in the last, oh yeah, actually last year, yes.
Okay, because I've told the story that for my 10th anniversary, which was 21 years ago, that seems impossible.
Wow.
But we had grandma and grandpa take the girls, and so I surprised my wife with a little trip to San Francisco, and it was charming. It was wonderful. We rented a convertible and drove to Pebble Beach and that 17-mile road, mm-hmm. or whatever it's called. And then we got a place down by Fisherman's Wharf, and I rented a moped, scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I rode all around the city, and I felt like I really got to know the city. And when you're riding around San Francisco 21 years ago, there were two overwhelming scents of the city.
Okay.
Sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the creosote as you're going along the
waterfront.
Oh,
that's waterfront. Right, the waterfront. I thought you were going to say Ghirardelli chocolate.
No, that's not only if you're real close. But to me, the creosote is a wonderful smell because it was very similar when I was a kid and I'd go down to Shill Shoal
and Ballard.
Golden Gardens. Mm-hmm. And that's the smell of the waterfront, the salt water and the marina. And so that was always my thought of San Francisco, the sourdough and the creosote. And then several years ago, we went back as a family, and it was nothing but the overwhelming smell of urine everywhere
really
you go.
It was like that about 15 years ago when I went.
Yes.
I came back saying it smells like pee.
Same area. You're talking about the waterfront.
Everywhere. Everywhere you go in San Francisco, it is like a cloud of urine. And Seattle is very much the same way. If you I was riding my bike down the Seattle waterfront through Myrtle Edwards Park. And again, beautiful waterfront. And then you get to Myrtle Edwards Park, which should be a jewel on our downtown waterfront. And you ride through for about 45 seconds this overwhelming cloud. Remember Pigpen and Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Where there was a visible cloud of dirt and dust around Pigpen. That's what it's like with the urine smell downtown Seattle now.
I think it would be worse, but we have more rain that washes it away.
True.
More often.
Anyway, I bring all of this up because a driver in San Francisco is lucky to be alive after a 3-story light pole, a big, heavy, galvanized, I don't know what the material was. I think it was aluminum. But a big light pole with a pedestrian crosswalk light and street signs on it. It came crashing down on the hood of this car, and I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It kind of hit the very bottom of the windshield. If it had been maybe a foot farther into the car, the two people inside the car would have been killed. So they're trying to figure out why in the world would this big metal light pole come crashing down, and they determined that it was because of human urine at the base of the pole. So many people had
so acidic
peed.
That it had to, oh no.
Yes.
How do we know it's human? Couldn't it have been a mixture of dogs as well?
A dog and human urine, but the observations of the people in the neighborhood is that humans.
That's the spot.
Yes, that's where the humans go. The PUC spokesman down there told the San Francisco Chronicle, "This has been an issue for us in the past. We encourage people to do their business in other places, like a proper restroom or one of our fire hydrants."
Say what?
That's the quote. Which are stronger and made out of cast iron.
Have a wider base.
Yeah. Well, they're cast iron, too. And they won't topple onto cars because they're so short and squatty, apparently. But anyway, so that's my little prediction, since we are twin cities with San Francisco, is let's just hope and pray that we don't have a light pole come down and kill somebody in Seattle because of all the urine at the base. You have been warned. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
I don't even know if this qualifies as breaking news, but I felt like saying it because I just heard brand new audio that you had in your newscast, Ursula, on this big press event today at the Seattle Aquarium. There is a push for, and there appear to be two concurrent pushes going on. One is for just a statewide ban on all plastic grocery bags. And then there's another that is proposing a tax on plastic grocery bags.
And that one we're not so sure about. So we just checked in with Cairo 7's reporter who was at this news conference. So we're going to focus on the plastic bag ban statewide because that was the focus today.
Okay. And so what we found out, do you have the other audio from the earlier newscast too? I only see one audio clip in here right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there was a technical difficulty.
I don't see the one from earlier. Anyway, so at this press conference down at the aquarium, first of all, a guy came in dressed as the plastic bag monster, as I heard in your newscast.
Free plastic bags!
Okay. And I ask you, when you decide what side of a social issue you want to be on, do you want to be on the side of those of us who like the handles, the convenience of a plastic bag? We reuse them, bring our lunch in them. By the way, the whole wrap on the plastic. Remember when plastic bags first came to be? And they were the environmentally sound alternative to paper bags.
Until they found out that they're not. So we have. It's called evolution.
Oh, no. There was
As
I recall,
education,
Ursula,
and evolution.
There was a 97% scientific consensus that plastic bags were more environmentally sound because with the paper bags, we had to cut down all the trees, and they told us you can recycle the plastic bags, and the whole scientific community told us, not that the scientific community could be wrong about any issues. That's impossible. I would be a plastic bag denier if that was the case. But no, they were supposed to be the environmental solution to paper bags. That's how they were sold to us.
Okay, I don't remember how they were sold to us.
Oh, I do.
But now the word is that there have been 8 million metric tons of plastics going into oceans worldwide.
Right. Roughly 98% of it from China. And the United States is such a tiny, tiny, itsy-bitsy contributor. And the plastic in the ocean is awful. And it's sad. And you see those pictures of the floating flotsam, or is it jetsam? I can never remember which. But you see those pictures of it in the ocean, and it's horrible. And you know, occasionally you'll see those sad pictures of the turtle with the old-style six-pack ring around its neck. And those are all very sad. But you do have to remember that the vast majority of plastic in the oceans comes from China. And so when there's an effort here in Washington State, when we are a tiny percentage of the tiny percentage that the United States contributes to all of that, and the goal of this plastic bag tax would be to raise $14 million a year for the state of Washington. It's a transfer of money from the citizens to government control for a very tiny infinitesimal effect. So, but here's a guy who was at this press conference today, and he told us why we need to support the plastic bag ban.
We will not just have an extinction of our forage fish and our salmon and our orca whales. We will have an extinction of our culture, our way of life, and everything that we hold most dear.
Okay. I hold my family most dear. So apparently our culture, our way of life, and our families will go extinct? Because that truly is what I hold most dear. It's all going to go extinct if we don't ban plastic bags here in Washington. And again, If you're for the ban, you're with this dude.
Free plastic bags!
And who doesn't want to be with him? Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So yesterday we told you about Jenny Durkin. Oh, they also have a Your Read on the Big Lead ready to go, Sean. Because I got a lot of text messages about this. So yesterday we told you about Jenny Durkin and city attorney Pete. I mistakenly called him Pete Smokem, if you got him, Holmes. I had a bunch of texters who corrected me. Pete Tokum, if you got him, Holmes. But yesterday, Jenny Durkin and Pete Holmes and Carmen Best, they all announced that they are going to eliminate the warrants that are outstanding for a lot of people who were driving with a suspended license. And they told us they were doing it because it disproportionately affects the poor and minorities, even though the numbers themselves, they had the stats. It was mostly white men who had these outstanding warrants, but they say it disproportionately affected the poor and the minorities. And so they said, hey, and it doesn't hurt anybody if we pretty much give the city's nod of approval to driving with a suspended license.
We're doing this because we recognize that our criminal justice system has disproportionately impacted people of color, and we want to ensure that our officers can focus on the most violent offenders and protect public safety.
Okay, so it's about social justice causes, which is why they want to lift these warrants. Pete Holmes also said, hey, and there's no risk.
By taking these warrants that have no impact on public safety, we are going to be able to help our community members emerge from the shadows, not be living their day-to-day lives in fear of having some ancient warrant come back and haunt them and trigger an arrest.
No impact on public safety, Jenny Durkin said. No impact on public safety, says Pete Holmes. And so yesterday, this broke right as I was going on the air. So as often is the case, I had to just speak extemporaneously about it. And I said, well, obviously, if you have a suspended license, you're far more dangerous on the roads than somebody with a valid driver's license. There's usually a reason it's suspended. And it's not because you're poor and it's not because of your race. It's because you were driving with a suspended license. That's why they give you a warrant. Okay. But I didn't have the stats because the story broke just as I was going on the air. And if you weren't listening 2 hours ago, because I'll be honest with you, I was very proud of this. Last night, I found a document. Guess where I found it? On the Washington State Department of Licensing website. Our own state, say what? They had a document, the title of this 37-page document, Estimation of Fatal Crash Rates for Suspended, Revoked, and Unlicensed Drivers. And this study happened to be in California. But it is so extensive, and it, of course, is parallel to everything everywhere else in the country. What they did was they studied all the fatal crashes from 1987 through 2009, a 23-year period. And yes, that's 23 years, not 22. Don't argue with me about that. 1987 to 2009, 23-year period. And what they found is that in every single one of those years, the fatality rate for drivers with a suspended license was greater than for those with valid driver's licenses. And when you took the entire 23-year period in total, which is a huge sample size, if you have a suspended license, you are three more times as likely to be the at-fault driver in a fatality than somebody with a valid driver's license. Three times more likely. So I asked the question. I asked people to text in a couple of hours ago. When Jenny Durkin says that the reason they're doing this...
We're doing this because we recognize that our criminal justice system has disproportionately impacted people of color.
Okay. And my argument is that driving with a suspended license disproportionately affects all of the innocent death victims. Pete Holmes said there's no safety risk.
By taking these warrants that have no impact on public safety.
No impact on public safety. Well, I got a study that I got from the Washington State Department of Licensing website. Jenny, Pete, you could have gotten this too before you stood up and spewed your nonsense yesterday. That there's no increased risk. If you have a suspended license, you are three times more likely to kill on our roads than somebody with a valid driver's license. And so, I said there's only one of two possible explanations for this. That Jenny Durkin and Pete Holmes were too stupid to even find data on our own state's Department of Licensing website. I mean, it took me a while to find this. And I went through this whole study last night. But they have whole staffs. I was just sitting by myself. They're either too stupid to find the data, or they're just blatant liars, and lying about reality is more important to them if they can look like social justice warriors than just being honest and saying, yeah, we're going to excuse people who are thrice as likely to kill. And so I asked you, what do you think it is? Is it stupidity or are they just liars? And man, I got a lot of feedback. Your read on the big lead.
Your read on the big lead.
And I said there's only one of two possible options here. They're either stupid or they're liars when they stand up there. And I think either is incredibly dangerous. But I didn't offer a third option. But the overwhelming number of my listeners said that they are both. They're stupid and they're liars. That they are willful in this. Maybe they thought nobody in the media would dig up a study that's on their own State Department of Licensing website. From the 206, they are ignorant, which I think is worse than lying. 425, the warrant forgiveness for unlicensed drivers is simply an extension of Seattle's sanctuary city policy. I'd be interested to know how many of those in the white category were undocumented Hispanic white versus non-Hispanic white. Well, they can't even ask that question. We don't have any stats on any of that. Dory, it's naive and dangerous to call the mayor and city attorney stupid. They lie because they hate our traditional American culture. From the 206, I disagree. I just think they're too lazy to look into facts. They knew that their stand going in, and they're not going to work too hard to uncover any uncomfortable stats. From the 253, Dory, I'm poor, but still manage to keep a valid license, insurance, and tabs. I do not understand the thinking here. And it goes on. I got dozens and dozens and dozens of responses. But the vast majority of people thought that they were both stupid and lying about this. And maybe they thought it would go unchallenged. I will link up on my blog the study that I found, Washington State Department of Licensing website, 23-year study. Suspended license drivers are three times as likely to kill. And that's who Jenny Durkin and Pete Holmes and Carmen Best, they want to forgive all of that in Seattle because they would rather be social justice warriors than protect the innocent people of our city who are doing everything legal and right when they're on the roads. That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. We're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day, all coming up next. Now you're goofing me up again, Sean.
How so? Oh, wait. Is this for Fridays at 2:30?
You're bringing Friday into Wednesday.
I was thinking this is a Wednesday thing for some reason, Dory. Let's have a crucial conversation about this.
Well, John, I understand how you could feel that way. Let me talk with you about your goals and how I can help you achieve them.
I hear what you're saying, Dory, and I take it to heart.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Let's party.
Is there supposed to be a plan of action there?
I don't know. Probably.
Don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
It was all OT.
Heard and validated.
Oh, it was crucial. Okay, we're going to do things a little bit differently for today's edition of our awesome audio clips of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And our awesome audio is brought to you by our friends at Brown Bear Car Wash. So yesterday, and this generated tremendous amount of comment, but Ron and Don are nice enough to invite me to come on their show every once in a while to talk about things that I've said on the show, things I've written about on My Northwest. And one of the things that generated tremendous comment on My Northwest was the yogurt shop in Kirkland. And over the weekend, the city of Kirkland announced, and you know the whole story, right? A 31-year-old African-American man, he was there to supervise a mother and son who were meeting. He was sitting at a different table. The employees didn't know he was with the mother and son. Two teenage girls, they called their boss, the owner. They said, hey, we're kind of nervous. This guy's just sitting there. We don't know what he's doing. The owner goes, well, okay, I'll call the police. And the owner looked on the security cam. He had live stream. And he said, so the guy's just been sitting there, hasn't said anything. They go, no. Now, it would have been great if the girls had just gone up and said, can I help you, sir? But teenage girls sometimes don't have it that together. It would have been great if the 31-year-old guy had said, hey, I'm here to supervise these two people. I'm just going to be hanging out. But he didn't have to do that. He wasn't doing anything wrong. So the cops come, they talk to him. You know the whole story. So earlier or late last week, the 31-year-old guy and the NAACP, they said that the owner of the yogurt shop should lose his business license for that and two other businesses, that the teenage girl should be fired, and that the 31-year-old guy should get hundreds of thousands of dollars so he could then own all three of this guy's businesses. And I said, I don't know who did anything wrong here. And my whole point was, I think that it is such a knee-jerk leftist thing to accuse anybody and everybody of being racist. It's like one of the weapons that is tossed around routinely by or anything-ist. You're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic. It's just tossed around routinely. And it has been for years now. And it's just an all-too-common tool of the left. And what I said is, I have no idea what was in that business owner's heart. But neither does anybody else. And they can't say that he's a racist. They don't know. He's Filipino. They called him a white supremacist. He's a Filipino. I didn't know Filipinos could be white supremacists. The teenage girls, some called them racist. I don't know anything about those girls. And neither do you. And neither do the people who called them racist. And so then the city of Kirkland over the weekend said, every city employee is going to undergo bias training. And I said, this is insane. So nobody can identify who did anything wrong here. We don't know what the encounter between the cops. I wish I had the body cam footage or audio between the cops and the guy. I don't know why they asked him to leave. I have no idea. Some have assumed it's racism. I don't know what's in any of those people's hearts. And the reason I'm so adamant about this is because I have all these liberals around here who send me, you know, 100 messages a day calling me all these ists when they have zero clue what's in my heart. So anyway, I went on with Ron and Don yesterday because Ron thinks that the bias training for every Kirkland employee is a good idea.
We all have hidden biases, and this is in the news. It's in the ether right now, and it's an opportunity to go to everyone and say, look, this just happened in our town. Mm-hmm. We like to think that we're liberal. We like to think we're open-minded. We like to think we're a progressive community. We like to think we're inclusive, and yet this happened in our city. And so let's take a second to pause and to look at, if this guy had been white, And Danny Westney did a big column about this. How many times he sat in Froyo shops and not bought anything because he's with some kids. I've done the same thing. I'm sure you've done the same thing. And where you go into a store or using the bathroom example.
And so his whole point was it's a good idea because we all have hidden biases. We don't all have hidden biases. We all have open biases that are usually based on our life experiences. And it's not exclusive to white people or the Filipino shop owner or African Americans. Every human being has biases. And this notion of anti-bias training, like a 1-hour class is going to overcome whatever lifetime of experiences has led everybody to live their life the way they do. It's ludicrous. And it's a scam. You know, these people who teach these classes and can hijack tens of thousands of tax dollars so that they can give thousands of employees a class, it's all nonsense. And I guess I'm still a bit of a rebel for being willing to call nonsense nonsense. But every human being has biases. The notion of anti-bias training, you know who has bias? Law enforcement, the FBI. It's called profiling. I'm not saying you should profile a black guy who's sitting in a yogurt shop. I'm just saying that every single entity in our world has a lifetime of experiences, and the notion that you go to a class for an hour and you scrub it all and everybody has anti-bias and that's something that, you know, one race needs more than the other, it's all nonsense. So that's what stirred all the controversy yesterday. Today's Sun is coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before I hit the road, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's Sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Michigan, where a 33-year-old woman who was intoxicated and uncooperative, those usually go hand in hand. I hardly ever see stories about people who are intoxicated and cooperative. She was intoxicated and uncooperative when police arrived. Her boyfriend had asked her to leave, but she refused. So, the 33-year-old woman allegedly swallowed diamond earrings that belonged to her boyfriend's deceased mother. She has now been arrested for drunkenly assaulting police and grabbing at one of their handguns. I hope we don't have any really annoying songs about diamonds.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. One of the worst songs ever recorded. This is annoying. Sylvia Varellin, who, by the way, her middle name is Hope. Like a diamond. Sylvia Hope Varellin. When officers tried to remove her from the home, she resisted, allegedly punched a cop. Officers carried her out of the home. She struggled and grabbed at one of their handguns. She also spit at an officer and tried to bite him. And then she told officers that she ate a pair of diamond earrings that belonged to her boyfriend's mother. She was taken to a hospital to retrieve the swallowed jewelry. How would you like to have that job? To be the diamond earring retriever at the hospital. Those diamonds ain't in the sky. Anyway, her bail has been set at $2,000. Like diamond. Like diamond. Shining bright like a diamond. I'm not going to subject you to any more of that song. Let's see. Today's Sign story number two.
This might be the worst wedding photographer ever. This happened down in Texas. The wedding photographer has been arrested while on the job after allegedly having sex with one of the wedding guests and then urinating on a tree. Katie Maida, she's 26 years old. She goes by the name Max McIntyre for her business and swimsuit modeling career. She was photographing a wedding when the incident occurred. According to the arrest report, an off-duty sheriff providing security was alerted about her inappropriate behavior by a member of the wedding party. She was reportedly having sex with a man from the wedding. When the officer advised her to leave, she went over to a tree and began to relieve herself. She was intoxicated and uncooperative, according to the police report. And then, finally, in today's Sign, it's a story about a woman who passed gas in a store. See, now this is the type of story. There are no songs for this. You can't find any songs about a woman who passes gas in a store. Or can we? For this woman, she was standing in line at a Dollar General store. She was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. Because, you see, a man who was behind her in line at Dollar General started complaining about her passing gas in line. 37-year-old Shanetta Wilson. Yes, the woman passing gas. Her first name is Shanetta. Shanetta Wilson. When John Walker, the customer standing next to her, got into a verbal dispute about her loudly passing gas, the woman allegedly pulled a knife from her purse, opened it, and told the victim she was going to gut him. She then pulled back her right hand with the knife, as if she was going to attack the victim with it. He thought he was going to be stabbed, hence the aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. So the gas was not the deadly weapon, just so you know. Her bail also set at $2,500. So she's free to go, so to speak. And all of that is today's Sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I have said absolutely everything that I have to say for today. But I'm gonna go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's big show. Thanks for spending a chunk of your afternoon with us. The Rod and Dodd Show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Hello.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.